satsang with Maitreya, October 7th, 2001.
Please welcome to the Mishra Maitreya conference room or chat room. And this is Maitreya from the Mishra Maitreya. We are here to present the mission to humanity and hopefully bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. All the prophecies are fulfilled. The seven seals are open. The proof seal, the seventh seal, is revealed. And you can see the signs these days that probably the tribulation has started, and as you can see that hopefully humanity eventually will see that they have no choice but come together and become unified, one world, one humanity under one God. And please, you know, listen to the mission, go to our website, study our scriptures, test the spirit, and then come here and let us discuss. If you have any discussion or anything you want to know about the mission, you are welcome to come and do that. We will be more than glad to answer questions, but please keep your dogmas off the room, because, you know, we already know about all the dogmas out there. And tonight, as I was saying, is the last night of the Saturn for the Feast of Tabernacle. And usually in this night we take it easy and have fun and have a talent show and somebody sing or make a, you know, poem or, you know, play music or whatever talent they have. But this week, unexpectedly, we got so involved with the PAL talk without even really planning on it that everybody was busy reading though and talking about the mission to people and learning PAL talk and all that. So apparently nobody had the time to get really the talents for tonight. So few talents is written, but the decision was probably it's a good idea, we, you know, not to have that tonight. So we go ahead and talk about the mission, and in that time, if you have any questions, raise your hand and let me know that you want to talk and contribute in this room. But in general, you can see that you know, a war in Asia has started today. I don't know if you have heard or not that the West attacked Afghanistan. That is one thing, you know, sounds like again we can see that the humans are trying to attack each other, and another war also nobody ever said it's not a religious war, but it's gonna end as a religious war. And the allies and the people who claim to be allies, their heart is not with each other, neither the heart of those who join the West is with the West, and neither the heart of the West is with those who along with him. So we will see even worse things is going to come out of this than before. That's unfortunate that we have the answer. We can cut them out, but human ego is still very involved in human affairs. And we will see that great tribulation has started. And of course, we need a side, it's the side of God, and we work to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. So also we see the unfortunate situation that human is in. At this time we can do nothing, because as I said many times, if you don't want to understand what we have here, I can do nothing about it. I'm just a messenger. I have a message to you. If you take it and listen, you say, yeah, that message makes sense, I want to be part of it, then your heart is open. I can feel your empty cup. But if your cup is already flowing with your dogmas and your, you know, narrowness of mind, that it's anything that doesn't see the universe as your home, then it is very hard to bring anything to that filled cup. Can you put more liquid in a filled cup? No, it's how it's already felt. You know, you can't do it. You have to put your cup into your cup and then say, okay, now fill me up. Then I say, sure, I can fill you up. I can give you the satsang, I can show you the unity of existence and humanity, and we can all realize that we're one human under one God, and we can create one peaceful earth. So we can see that with this, also everybody says, oh no, we are right or they are wrong. It doesn't matter anymore. Okay, they're not attacking anyone, they're just responding to the attack, or they say, no, we have been depressed. But it doesn't matter, it's too late for finger pointing and blaming. The most important thing is that, again, human ego is involved in the process. And wherever human ego is involved, what happens? Suffering will follow in every side. So it is unfortunate to see, also we can see so clearly, but you can't help them. As the other in other satsang, somebody asked me, what is your opinion about Middle East? You know, I said, well, if Sharon and Arafat listen to me, we're going to have peace tomorrow there. But will they? That is the question. Okay? They won't. Will they criticize right now in Afghanistan and or the allies in Afghanistan listen to us? They will not. But after they went through this tribulation, at the end, they will come to this conclusion that their way is not a good way. And our way is the way of unification. Our way is the way of God. Our way is the beginning of the kingdom of heaven and earth. But did you rejoice that God said He's going to do all these things, and He's doing it? Therefore He exists. Since He exists, our trust is in Him. We are one nation under God, and we are all His children. And whoever joins us, of course, will be a part of who has been cut in this confusion into truth that has been prophesied. Those who have been chosen, the elect, will be cut with Christ in the cloud. This cloud means confusion. Is there confusion in the world? Yes, there is. You know, these religions say, no, we are better, we are better. We have to have the last word. They are going to be the most powerful, will they? Okay? So, it is something that we can meditate in and contemplate on that and realize that, again, this revelation has come in the right time for the right people, and the beginning of the, you know, kingdom has come to us. As it's been prophesied, by year 2017, many people will realize what we are saying. Many people, even in this room, might, you know, object to what I'm saying. But by 1917, many of them and many more will come to the same conclusion. You have no choice. Okay? When God wants you, He doesn't give you a choice. Okay? I didn't have a choice, but there's my distinction. When God wants you, you have no choice. Those who join this mission, I've asked them one question. Do you have any choice? Do you have any choice besides this mission? If you do, then you're not called for. Okay? It's, you're not belonging. Okay? Because if you have a choice, you're not an elect. Okay? And you're looking for an elect. You reach a point and say, yeah, my career and mission of myself is the only way. There is no other way on this earth. And he said, yeah, I don't have any choice. Of course, I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to go to the website. I want to read our teaching. I want to come here and discuss it. Try to change my mind about what I believe. Great. I love it. You know, don't come here and say, no, that's the only way. That is of your dogma. No. Know the mission. Know the teaching. Then come here and discuss every aspect of the mission as we have done in this mission before. And every time, the conclusion is, the answer is, the comings of light based on the eternal divine that there is no other way. Okay? But if you can come and find something wrong in this mission, I'll be the first one to admit it and just drop everything and go somewhere else and say, sorry, I was wrong. Okay? But if you can't, then you have to admit it, wow, this thing really makes sense. And eventually say, yeah, I don't have any choice either. I have to be with this mission. I'll be here to, you know, help this mission. I am here to become the son of God, or the child of God, and withdraw myself from this confusion and completely free myself from destruction. This is coming to us. And that is what we are going to do together. We're going to support on each other as the community of God and eventually help each other out of this destruction, this conflict of humanity. So we are not supporters of either earthly power or earthly thing, but because the coming of the kingdom of earth, which is based on the coming of life. So I'm going to go ahead and explain to you the base of our teaching in the mission of Maitreya, because we believe every human has to hear about this teaching at least once. Basically, we are teaching the seven seals here, seven revelations that came through the seven prophets or seven teachings. And the first revelation that have come to the humanity is the awakening of your spiritual forces for the mystical path, which covers Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, Christian saints, Sufis, and every other mystical path that talks about know thyself to know God. Be still and know that I am God. Therefore, the first step in the eternal divine path is to awaken your spiritual forces. How do you do that? You learn what calms your mind, what makes you feel calm and connected to God. Of course, the fastest thing that we can recommend is meditation. Meditation means to sit straight in a very comfortable position, but not that comfortable that you fall asleep, but comfortable enough that you can relax your body. And of course, the best position is the lotus position that yogis used to sit on it. But in the West, it's going to be very difficult for people to do that, because we have been sitting on the chair for the rest of our lives, and our muscles are not used to go underneath and twist around our legs and go over the, you know, our body. So he just suggests that you sit in a very comfortable position. You can even sit on a chair if you want. Close your eyes, your back is straight, and your neck is straight, and your head is straight. And then after you are comfortable, just look at your body to see anything, tension in your body, get rid of tension, and then concentrate on breathing. Breathing, Aryom Sharitam, which means the goal of the life is to become divine. Then realize the stillness between breathing in and breathing out, that the stillness is what said, be still and know that I am God. If you realize that the stillness, you will realize God within. That the stillness should stay with you all the time. If you can keep that stillness with you all the time, life becomes a dance. Life becomes very comfortable and easy, and always you are with God and God is with you. It all becomes very comfortable things to live with. So, you breathe in, Aryam Sharihan, which means the goal of the life is to become divine. You breathe out, Om Nam Kevalam, which means Om God, Kevalam is everything. Therefore, the goal of the life is to become divine. God is everything, therefore I and God are one already. There is nothing that God is not in. Therefore, I am the subject, not separated from God. And then you breathe out, Om Nam Kevalam. Realize the stillness between breathing out, and actually you feel the energy of the first silence start coming from the very low level, you know, in the pit of your stomach. Energy is released to the higher level, and that is the spirit of life within. So, this is the basic of know thyself and awaken your spiritual forces. Now, after the awakening of your spiritual forces, now what? You know, okay, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a, you know, Kabbalist, and I have been meditating for 20 years, and they teach the goal of the life is to completely, you know, forget about this world and go to the God. But you say God has another plan. In the Old Testament, you see God is trying to find a people that they are for the tribe of Israel. That tribe of Israel is a community. The community is people who live together, and those were the Israelites. They were the children of Israel, or the children of Allah. Okay? Now, if you are in a community and you follow the find a step of the economic impact that we're going to just talk about, you become a children of light. So, children of light means whoever follows the economic impact, whoever creates the commons of light, we accept God as their king or as their, you know, leader, as, and they follow his king as his law. So we can see in the Old Testament, he is talking about the commons of light. Okay? The commons of light, okay, is goal of the mission. He believes the commons of light is the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, you may think we are going out to a process, we want to create the commons of light. What's the next step? Christ gave us that answer. He sacrificed for humanity or his ideal all the way to the cross. So, in a community of life, you don't say, what does it mean for me alone, what does it mean more for me, but what is good for the whole community. So, in the community of life, sacrifice is necessary. Now, you sacrifice a lot, nothing happens. What will happen to you? You become depressed. You say, I'm doing so much, nothing happens. Or, you do and it starts happening, and you say, wow, look at me, I'm such a great person, I'm doing this. So, the next step is the surrendering the result of your action to God, so you do not become attached to the result, therefore you become free of any attachment. And that is the religion of surrendering. Islam means surrendering and submission to God, from the word Taslim. Therefore, you start doing good in the community, but you surrender the result to God. Because greater than surrendering is submission. It means you do to God, you do it through you. So, we can see, so far, we have unified four religions of the world, the mystical path, Old Testament, New Testament, and Islam. Now, we can see, we need one more step to have the eternal divine path. So far, all our endeavor is directed to one community, one limited place. The next step, the expansion of mind, to become a universalist. A person that says, my country is the whole universe, my father is God, and my mother is God. Therefore, you expand your consciousness and you bring all the knowledge of the mind. Who brought the message of universalism? Baha'i teaching. Bob brought that teaching to humanity, and Baha'is are expanded in the sense that they don't feel that they belong to any specific place, but they belong to the whole universe. So by having various forces, trying to create some of that, sacrificing for it, surrendering and submitting to the result of action to God, and become a universalist, you shatter all the narrowness of the mind, you shatter all the attachment to your action, you shatter the old egoistical feeling of, you know, I am the doer and I am the, you know, what is it doing for me, and you try to create those communities, and therefore you become an elect. That is the sixth seal in the great sign for our teaching. Okay? And that is what all the scriptures are talking about, the elect. Elect of God, chosen people. People who have been chosen to be in the kingdom of heaven on earth. So we are trying to create the commons of life based on these five steps of the eternal divine path and attracting all the elects to come and follow this eternal divine path and create the commons of life. And eventually, these elects are the people who will lead humanity to the next step, which is the 17th unification. We are the symbol of unification of all religions, and this is just not only God. See, all these religions have a part of the eternal divine path. Each of them have brought a part of a greater truth. Each of them have a part of what you can compare the five, you know, blind man and elephant. It's interesting that the eternal divine path has five steps, and there are five blind men when they look at the elephant. You can see that's exactly sound like a, you know, all other religions are like a blind people just getting a part of the truth and say, oh, I have a part of the truth. That is the truth. But the man with the sight comes in and says, no, each of you are correct. Each of you have a part of the elephant. But the whole elephant is something more than each of you have. That's exactly what we are saying to humanity. Humanity, your religion is okay. What you believe in is fine. Okay? But you have a part of the truth. Here is the whole truth. The greatest sign, the eternal divine path, because if they're not divine paths, it just explains all the mystical paths of the all universe. Buddhism, Hinduism, okay, Kabbalah, saints in Christianity, Sufis, even some old religions, just like the Zoroastrian, just like the American Indians, like the teaching of the Australian, you know, Aborigines, okay, or African, and all those things that they're mystical. They believe in a spirit in the tree, for example. Oh, yeah, it's a spirit of God in the tree. It's not in a separate form, and nothing is separate from it. So you can see all those people fall in that first category. First category actually is the spirit of their whole teaching, because mystical path is the spirit of the whole teaching. Before you are making your spiritual forces, before you realize that you and God are already one, then you can't even understand when Christ said, me and the Father are one. You just say, oh, only Christ is Father, me and the Father are one? Or can I be also one with the Father? And God said, yeah, because whoever overcometh will be my son. So it's going to be more than one son. Okay, of course, he was the first begotten son, but it is open to everyone. Whoever overcometh will be my son, right, in the chapter 23 of the, you know, Revelation. So we can see that this is the time of calling the people they want to become his son. This is the time of calling to come here and follow eternal divine path, and that is the way of overcoming. And because what is, you meditate, you have ignorance to approach it. What are you doing next? You're working for the creation of the communities of life. You have a purpose in life. You are trying to bring other like-minded together. You sacrifice. You're not self-centered and say, oh, what is it for me, what is it for me? Because that's going to be an instruction to society. If everybody says, what is it for me? Okay, as Gandhi said, there's not enough for everybody's greed, but for everybody's need, there is enough. Okay? So we have to share. That is another way out of this mess we are in. We have to share. If the difference between have and have not is too high, there is going to be destruction, there is going to be, you know, violence, as you can see. So you have to say, not what is in for me at all, but what is in for everybody. You have to feel the pain of every being in the universe. Their pain should be our pain, and we say, no, they should not suffer. But we have also, it's no longer just, you know, love your neighbor, but you have to love the whole universe itself. Love your neighbor is okay, but the communication we have, everything, it is more than just love your neighbor. You have to love the whole universe. So that is the third seal. You know. And then, okay, I'm doing all those things. You surrender and submit the result of your actions, so you're not attached. You're free, absolutely. You do the work, and you say to God, you do you. And you say, okay, thank you, God. What's next? You know, I'm ready for the next project. Just sitting there and blaming yourself, that, oh, why did I do wrong? What is this wrong thing I did? I made a mistake. Don't blame yourself for your mistake. Learn from it. You know, it's not going to help you to blame yourself and say, oh, I'm such a bad person, I didn't do well. Okay, so that's going to help you. You know, instead of saying, how am I going to learn from it? Okay, it was a mistake. But how am I going to learn from this? If you learn from it, then the next time you didn't do that mistake, what will come? You're going to be a little more perfect? Yeah, okay. That is the goal, isn't it? Perfection? I'll get there, little by little. Okay? But sitting there and blaming yourself, oh, I mean, this geometry is so bad, you know, I'm such a terrible person, I'm not going to help you. But if you look at it and say, okay, I mean, this is how I'm going to help you, this, then that's going to help you. So we can see that the next step is the universalism. Universalism shatters all the knowledge of the mind. If everything is God, if you are the child of God and the universe, you can separate yourself from another person. You can say this person is that color, or this person from this place, or he talks with the accent of another person, you know, is taller than another. You can do those things. Everything is God. Okay. And then you can look at it and say, all are one. They're all my children. They're all my, you know, creation. There's all God's creation, and I have to love all of them. So the knowledge of the mind completely is going to be destroyed. You are free. So you're not self-centered, you're not attached, and you're free. What else can take you to become elect? This is five steps is the message of all the religions. It is now revealed to humanity. Look, each of you have one part of this message. Now put them together, and that's what the mission of Maitreya has done. What we are going to find? The elect. And what the elect are going to do? They are going to bring the unity. They are going to preach this teaching to every human at least once. I think you can do, go to our website and read it there. That the moment you go to our website and read it, we are done with you. We give you the message. The message is given. It's not up to you what you can do with it. But you can just say it and say, oh, it's wonderful. Or say, or some, just like some people come here and say, you know, we are from devil and all that. Okay, fine. Okay. Why don't you let God judge us? Well, who are you to judge us? Okay. God is the judge, isn't he? He's going to judge us if we are devil. What a big ego you are that you are coming here and telling us who we are. You know, let God tell us who we are. Okay. Don't bring your big ego here and think you are the judge. No, God is the judge. He is going to judge us if we are wrong. But what if you are right? Where are you going to be? Okay? Just think about it. If you are accusing of being the devil, and you are not, and then you believe that, what are you going to be at the end? In the lake of fire? With the rest of the things going to come? Or you are going to go and into our website and study and read and test the spirit and see the prophecies are fulfilled. The seven seals that prophecy are to come has been opened, and the book that sealed with the seven seals is open and is revealed. Hey, this is God talking about happening. Therefore, we are not from the devil. And then anyway, who am I to judge these people in the first place? God is the judge. I'm gonna leave them to God if they are from devil. Not they are not. But our teaching is based on the scriptures, and all you are backed up with the prophecies fulfilled. Okay? So our claim is not an empty claim. It is not, and God is behind us. So we are not afraid of anyone. Not a bit. Okay? Because when God is with you, you are not afraid of anything or anyone. So please get this thing in your brain and go read your scriptures, understand what's talking about, and don't judge. Remember, if you judge, you're going to be judged. And you're going to be judged harshly. If you come here and judge us harshly, and it is from God, what's going to happen to you? I'm worried about these people, really. I'm not saying as a something, you know, it is what is their soul is going to happen with. Well, anyway, I'm not trying to scare you, but think about it. Okay? Meditate on it and say, who am I to judge these people? Okay. I think, first of all, go to our website and read about our teaching and find out what we're saying. Don't come here without knowing anything about us and try, you know, saying, oh, yeah, you this and that. That is the act of a weak-minded. It's an act of a pragmatic, brainwashed person who doesn't have anything else to seek on, come here and they feel good about doing it because the preacher said, you know, they should do it, but they have never studied or educated themselves what is the truth of God. So we can see that this revelation is from God, these things are from God, all religions are unified, the seven seals are open, and the book 57 series is revealed. This is the time of tribulation. But when we come out of it, those who left, hopefully, will see our point and come together and unify. That's why we are here. We are here to call the elect. That is what, you know, we are not interested in your preaching. We know about your preaching. If you are here to know about us, please welcome. You know, but if you are here to judge, don't. I'm worried about your souls, those who come here and do that. It is the teaching that I have been explaining hundreds and thousands of times, and each time it comes out differently. But the basic of it is that we have the whole teaching, the whole elephant, and unify the whole, many of the world together, and each of them fall in one a part of this whole thing. All of them have some truth, but the whole truth is greater. Go ahead, Lou. My mic is up. Okay. Go ahead and type your question then. Apparently you are asking for the Ten Commandments that it says, thou shalt not kill. Actually, the true wording of the commandment is, thou shalt not murder. and murder means meditative, premeditative killing of someone. If you are defending yourself and you have no choice in the process to kill the attacker, you know, probably that doesn't fall into the murder, because you didn't premeditate it to do that, and you are defending yourself. So there are times that, you know, probably killing, you have no choice to do it. But of course, you should not kill as much as possible, and you should not murder for sure. Okay? So if you think it that way, you can see that it's not really killing, but it's murder. Because if you become completely taking it as a killing, you become completely passive. And you might, other people might do something to you that, you know, it's not, you know, good for you. Okay, and it says, but in Samuel 25, God said, smite them. Alright? As I said, commandment is not kill, commandment is murder. Okay, in that case, probably God had a good reason. If you believe in reincarnation and law of karma, then you will see that God is just. If people have been born many, many lifetimes, and they, instead of listening to God, they go and do things that not according to the law. Okay, what are they creating? Are they creating karma? Yes, they're creating karma, and therefore they have to reap what they have sown. Okay? Therefore, when God says do that, and His voice is really God's voice, then that is the punishment to happen to them. So, we cannot judge God. We cannot sit here and judge God why He does what He does, because He has a greater vision and knows exactly what's happening in the universe, and therefore, you know, He knows what should happen. It's a story about the old prophet goes to a city, and in that city, suddenly he takes his knife and kills the child in the street. And everybody becomes very upset with him, because, you know, they say, why did you do that? He said, because if he had grown up, he would have become a very big murderer and could kill many people. So he had the vision, and he gave it to them. Who are we to, you know, judge God what is, you know, correct or not? So we have to believe that, you know, then what God does is correct. And the only way you can understand that is believing the reincarnation, that we are born here again and again, and each time we come here we accumulate either some karma, or we born some karma and learn a lesson. Of course, karma is the cost of learning the lesson. We have many times talked about it. You know, if you learn your lesson, the karma goes away. So if you accumulate a lot of karma, then when the time comes to pay, you might suffer, you might be killed, you might be destroyed, you might be something happen to you. But never ever anything God does is not just. Okay, and go, John.
And so the universal mind was used, and it became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean it became unit of consciousness at that time?
Okay.
To walk through the eternal mind path? If so, why was the unit of consciousness? Did the universal mind include it for God to use it? And that's my question. I hope that makes sense.
Okay, John, yes, you're the flesh. Okay. Actually, that is very much similar to the theology of the Christianity, that God came to human as the form of Christ. Okay? And He came to go through the suffering, therefore He realizes the suffering of humanity. Actually, that didn't happen only in the time of Christ. It happened in the very beginning of the universe. He came, because when the universe went out of the balance, the formation of the unit consciousness started, and the separation and the body of God start forming, and ego form, and therefore everybody starts saying, oh, you are separate than me, because the ego separates. It's in the true realization of God, you realize God is in everybody. and you don't feel separation. You don't look at the people as the races or colors or language or nationality. You can say, oh, it's a child of God. I can see that. You know, it's a part of me. It's a part of God. Okay. Therefore, I can be a part of them. Okay. You don't feel that separation. Because of that evolvement of the ego, you know, God sent His Spirit into that darkness, which is the Holy Ghost, and it became a spark of life, which is individual. And he went through the eternal divine path. He started meditating on this, of course, because it was the Spirit of God, of course, he was way ahead of everybody else, you know, in progress. Okay? So he started meditating and said, why these beings are separated? Why they are feeling, you know, resentful and destruction and separation from each other and all that? As he meditated more and more, okay, he realized, you know, they have egos and they are separated from each other, and therefore they have to have the inner proportions. They realize they are all God's children. They are come from the same source. They are going to go to the same source. There is no separation between them and all that. Therefore, he started teaching them meditation, having all those spiritual forces. Okay. Then as he did that, you know, he realized that he created a kind of a community around himself. Okay. The great beings, you know, attract those people are ready for that teaching. Okay. And that he started attracting them, he realized, wow, the best way to do that is in a community. People come together, help with each other and all that. Okay, he realized that the next step in having a spiritual forces is what creation of the communities. That people are like-minded, want to accept God. They meditate together. They see each other as a part of God, not separate from each other. And they realize in order to do that, you can't be egoistic. You can't say, what is it for me alone in the communities of life? But what is good for the community? So he said, you know, sacrificing for everyone. This is the symbol of Christ coming, sacrificing himself to the cross. And some people start practicing, and some people didn't. And then some people start practicing, he felt very good. He said, wow, what a great being I am, that I'm everybody likes me, and that everybody comes together and creates something of, he felt the separation from God the moment he did that, because he became egoistic. Or did nothing happen, he became depressed. He said, why am I putting so much effort and it nothing happening? Therefore, he realized the next step is to do the job, to do the work, and say, okay, I'm going to make my spiritual forces. I'm going to create the communities of life. I'm going to sacrifice for it, but I'm going to surrender the result to God. Because what does it make us depressed? Then you're attached to the result, don't you? We want to, you know, we set up our life in such a way that I'm going to be such a person, such a piece of successful, I'm going to make that much money, I'm going to become great in your life. And it doesn't happen. That's what most of the people get depressed. Okay, because the way they want things, they wanted the result of their life, which is not happening exactly they want. It's the same thing about your work. If you do something and you are expecting the result, and the result doesn't happen exactly the way you want, you become depressed. But if you do have the result of that manifesting, what happens? You say, wow, what a great person I am. You know, you become egoistical, and you try to connect the people who follow you to yourself, because you think it's you, you know, attacking all these people coming and joining you. And again, you separate them from God, and that is no again. Because, you know, you are here to separate, to connect them to God. Therefore, you are saying, okay, this is God is doing me. This is not the Saturn I am giving. This is not the material. This body is not giving Saturn, but the Spirit of God is coming through and telling you this truth, which is wonderful. There are a lot of truth in the mission. When you read them and read them and understand them, you will have no choice to say, wow, this is true. I have no choice. Where does it come from? It doesn't come from this body. This body is going to die and go away. What's going to remain? The Spirit behind is going to remain, and it's going to be with you all the time. Okay, so when you realize this, then you are not the doer anymore. He is the doer. He comes through you all the time. You are submissive. That is the highest spiritual realization. Isn't the goal of the spiritual realization to become one with God? If that is the goal, submission is the highest spiritual realization. Because He is doing this through you all the time. Okay, so you are absolutely one with God. You have reached the highest spiritual realization. Okay, therefore, you know, that is the highest spiritual, you know, revelation to humanity.
No, with all that, you must get attached to a very small, you know, portion of the earth.
Oh, I'm just belong to this religion. And I'm just going to take care of my local, you know, community. I'm not just belong to this nation. I'm just white, I'm black, or I'm Spanish, or Hindu. All this are suppression. Okay? You have been born in that, in this lifetime. But you know that you were black in the last lifetime. Well, you were Chinese in the previous lifetime. You know? So you can, or maybe you will next lifetime. If you don't get it this lifetime, and you think, oh, you're greater than them, or whoever, or whatever you think you're greater from, maybe you were born in that lifetime as them. You know? What are you going to do then? So you better watch it, you know, this lifetime, what you are thinking about and how you, you know, deal with the different issues on earth. So, you see, the next step of universalism is you realize God is everything. You know, the universe is your next shadows, all in all one. You don't belong to any nation, you don't even belong to earth, you belong to the whole universe. And God is your father, you belong to, you know, earthly father. Earthly father was just used, or earthly mother was used for you to come to this body. Of course, as we have explained many times, you know, that you should respect them and love them greatly. No doubt about that. Okay? We have a teaching about the different beings in life. The first is God, second is the spiritual teachers who take you to God, the third is your parents, and fourth is your spouse, the wife and husband. So that's another topic. So we can go again in our website and read and go, you know, what they are. But you really, your parents are just an instrument for to bring you to earth. What's the goal of your life when you are on earth? To become divine, to know God, to realize why you are here, you know, why you have been created, why you have been sent here. Okay. If you know the goal of your life is to become divine, then you become a divine doctor, if you become a divine lawyer, or a divine floor sweeper. Okay, whatever, okay, you can become divine in that. So you are not opposed, you have a career, but make your career God, make your career man. So he went through that path, and he completely freed himself from all this narrowness of the mind and attachment and selfishness, and he became an elect. And God saw, and he reached life, and God said to life, and God said, that is good. You know, that path is great. So the spirit ran to the darkness, and the spirit returned back to God. And then God said, that's good. That is wonderful, you know, path. I like the eternal term of path. That is the way to reach back to Godhood. Okay? So it is the that's exactly the explanation of the Messiah or the prophet is. Prophet is the spirit of God returns to humanity. But he is a body. He's a spirit. He can come here and say, hello, I'm here, hello. And everybody, you can't see a spirit. And everybody said, just don't look, just like this invisible man at that movie. He's going down all the place, nobody could see him. He's there, God is always there. There's no time that God is not there. But we need a body. Now, how do we recognize this body is the correct body? He prophesies. He says, when his body comes, he's going to manifest this thing, and he's going to fulfill his prophecy. Okay? And if you go to our website, no prophet ever fulfilled as many prophecies as this mission and our teaching has fulfilled. Never, ever, you have that many prophecies fulfilled. Okay? And I didn't go and dig them out either. Okay? Few other people brought them to the mission and said, here, there's another one. I've given, as you said, this wonderful, you know, lecture this morning, even there's more that we even don't know about them. Okay? It's just coming more and more and added to this prophecy. Okay? What does it mean? It means, okay, yeah, this guy who came here brought all the things that God said to come, and I will do the prophecy. Do I have any choice to say, yes, it's from God? You don't. If you have a choice, your cup is full. I can't get anything in. No matter how much I tell you, your cup is full. It's going to come right over the cup. It's not going to. But if your cup is empty, if you are a real seeker, you say, well, let's check him out at least. Okay, see, this is really saying something true or not. Okay, if you check and you are the
seeker, you will find the truth yourself. That's what anybody in the mission finds it through themselves. We don't go after them. We don't go to the street and dispatch them into the mission and put the doors closed and say, now we cannot meet you and forget about your parents and don't call them or anything. Actually, we encourage you to help your parents, call them, explain it to them, love them. Actually, we want their parents also to come join us. It is not a call. It's not something, you know, you are, you know, put in a thing. You are free, absolutely free. Depends upon you, how much you want to give to the mission, how much you want to spend for the mission, how much you see that you feel you have to give to this wonderful thing. Therefore, he becomes alive. So, in a sense, what is the spirit? It's not the spirit of God. It's the same problem that the question this morning somebody asked. Christians believe that Christ was the Son of God, but Muslims don't believe. Okay, so how do we know that Christ was the Son of God? Christ said, "Me and the Father are one." I am His. What Son means? Son means in His image, isn't it? Okay, Adam was the Son of God. He was in the image of God. He manifested God to humanity. Then Adam was a selected two, male and female. And then he was Seth. Seth now was in the image of Adam. If you read the Bible, in the beginning, God created man in His image. But later on, Seth is not in the image of God anymore. He is in the image of Adam. Because Adam was half of God now. This was explained, you know, it was explicitly true. Male and female. For his son was in his image, but Adam, which was both male and female, was in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? Christ was in the image of God. He said, "Me and the Father are one." Means I'm manifesting God's Father to earth. What Prophet Muhammad says? He says, God says to Prophet Muhammad, listen to him. Whatever he says is my word. Isn't he also manifesting the Spirit of God on earth? He's doing the same thing Christ did. Christ said, "Me and the Father are one." Whatever I say is His word. And Prophet Muhammad says the same thing. Therefore, both of them were the Son of God in this thing. But Prophet Muhammad is objecting to what? He's objecting to the idea that God came and made a child to Mary. Okay? He's saying, there is not such a thing. Okay? Now, God later in the Bible says, whoever overcometh is going to be my child, my son. Does that mean God is going to make children with every woman whose sons are going to be later those who are going to overcome? See, that is the matter of semantics, of the explanation of this thing, that again, mission explains correctly, that it wasn't a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing that God's Spirit came through Christ, therefore He was the Son of God. God's Spirit came through Adam, therefore He was the Son of God. God's Spirit came through the darkness, therefore the one who went to the eternal, the one that in the beginning was the Son of God. The Spirit of God came through Noah, therefore Noah was the Son of God. Actually, there was sons of God even in the sixth chapter of the Genesis. So there is more than one son. There are many sons, even in the beginning, before even the Christ came. So all of them, whoever comes, fulfills the prophecy and shows the Spirit of God and comes through Him to the humanity, He is the Son of God. So we can see, yes, the prophet, Muslim called Christ a prophet. That's true. Prophet also has a message for humanity. And Christ had three messages that the Jews don't know. We can see that, you know, both of them were prophets, both of them were Son of God, and this problem of this discussion that between Christian and Muslim going for centuries is resolved right now. We can see the explanation. Right, the truth is here again for them. And Vishnu Maitreya unifies them and explains it to them, and hopefully they will listen and say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense. Okay, we are fighting for nothing. For all this time." Okay. So the Spirit of God comes to the darkness, but that's the Spirit. The Spirit can't manifest Himself to you, because most of the people who have ego,
they, Allah tested him enough to know this with this here and come through. That's why he has to choose a being, an individual, you know, that the spirit comes through him. So that the spirit and that individual are the same, as we explained it before, especially when he's connected and giving the satsang and talking about the truth. Another time is just a man. Okay, that's why one time Christ said, me and the Father are one, and another one somebody says, good Sabbath, he says, what is good about me? I'm not good, the only thing is good God. What happened? 2 days ago you said, me and the Father are one, now you are not good enough anymore. You know, you can see in there, he and the Father are one. Okay? In that, the Spirit of God is happening. In the other time, he's just a man. And that's another discussion that Krishna had. Was he man or was he God? Again, it's resolved here. He was both. He was a man. That was the spirit God behind him. Therefore, he acted like a man sometimes, he acted like a God sometimes. Okay. So, you can see, again, vision of the... Actually, this mission is mostly vision of explanation and unification. It has been explained. Every problem you have with the religion, it will be explained in this vision. If it wasn't explained, you don't find it. Okay, Luke, go ahead.
These are things why I do a moment shall do a good thing that we shall be doing. How can we do the same thing that he did?
Okay, as I said, you know, the process of perfection, he was saying what? Be perfect as your Father in heaven. So, the goal of the life is to perfection, to become perfect. But how you can become perfect? Who is perfect? Father is perfect, isn't it? God is perfect. He never does something that is not perfect. Okay? That's why submission is when you let God come through you. Okay? In that meditation, if you recognize that the stillness between the two breathing and stay with it, you will be perfect. Because that stillness is perfect. Okay? So stay with it. When you meditate, don't let that stillness go away. Carry it with you, carry it to your work, carry it to your conversation, carry it to your thinking, carry it to your life. Okay. And if you carry that thing, it is perfect. It will let you become perfect. And you will do what Christ did. Actually, as he said, you can do even greater things than I do if you become perfect. So the goal of love, if you made a mistake, how do you become perfect? By sitting there and blaming yourself, will you become perfect? Or you're going to become depressed and even make more mistakes? Okay? But if you say, okay, I made a mistake, what was the reason I made a mistake? I didn't let God come through. I wasn't in that oneness with God. Therefore, if I'm not one with God, I lost it. That's why I made a mistake. Okay? If I am one with God and He's perfect, therefore I can do exactly as perfect job as He does. Therefore, the goal is to become one with God. And that is the path of submission. Let God come to you. Understand His will. What is His will? Is His will to be a Jew? Is His will is to become a Hindu? Is His will is to become a Muslim? Is His will to become a Christian? Is His will is to become any of those religions came in the past? No! His will is now is to become a divine. That is what the eternal divine path is. You have, now I know the will of God. The will of God is to become divine. The will of God is to follow eternal divine path. Therefore, I know the will of God now. Now, I also know how to become one with Him within myself in my meditation. I have the whole plan of God and the will of God in my hand. I am free. I am ready to do the will of God. I am ready to be perfect. Therefore, I follow God's will. But if you do not follow God's will, of course, you will not going to be able to be one with Him, you know, because you are going one way and He is going another, and your path will not be the same. You are going to different paths, and then go to different paths. Would you be able to be together? No, you're going south, He's going north. It's just impossible somebody going to the south and somebody going north to be together. So, understand His will. What is His will? His will is revealed in the Scripture. His will is revealed in Revelation. His will is revealed in the Word of God. And where is the Word of God? It's in Upanishad. It is in Bhagavad Gita. It is in
Old Testament. It's in New Testament. It's in Quran. It is in Bab's, you know, Bayan. It is in teaching of Ananda Maimon. It is in Zohar. Okay? Of course, if you understand our teaching, if you read the holiest of the holiest, though, the last testament, then you can read any scripture and you say where it falls in God's plan. And little by little you will see the vision, you see the plan, you see God, and you will become more and more perfect. Of course, we do not expect everybody who walks through the mission to be perfect. You know, you're not. Probably you're not going to make mistakes. But you say, don't blame yourself. It's okay. Just learn from your, you know, mistake and become more and more perfect. As less mistake you make, what you become? Did you become more and more perfect? And eventually, hopefully, one day you will say, wow, God is really coming through, and what I'm doing is perfect the way they are. Go ahead, John.
So, we have a question from the website, which is, it says that Australia mentioned in 2017. Is that when everyone will accept the message? That's the question.
Okay, well, by 2017, probably mission is going to be in Australia. Many people have heard about it, many people have joined it, many people have seen the vision, and many elect will be teaching it all over the world. That's one thing we are looking for. We are looking for support groups that support the mission, and we are looking for the teachers who will dedicate their life to the teaching and go all over the world and travel and teach and preach this thing and reach every corner of the world. Of course, we are reaching out to every corner of the world with our website. There is no place in the world that cannot go to our website and find the truth there. But at the same time, we are in the process of creating the coming of light, and the coming of light is the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth, and the coming of light is based on the eternal divine path. It's very simple. There is no dogma. This mission is a path. You either follow it or you don't, okay? And if you follow it, if you read our teaching, it clearly explains how God said He's going to do this thing, and He did that. Therefore, God exists. It's very simple. And even if you're intellectual and you don't have any feeling of God, and you say, no, God doesn't exist, and all the problem of the earth is based on religion. All the problems of the earth is not based on the religion. All the problem of the earth is based on ego and dogmas. Okay, if you take those two out of humanity, we won't have any problem. God is unifying. God is not, you know, destructive. So, therefore, we are looking for all these things, you know, and now we are reaching with this room to many people who come to it and hear it, go to the website and understanding, and eventually, as many other people have done, they're going to come and say, yeah, I want to help. And I had this vision from all my life that I'm going to help, you know, the teaching of God and Christ, and I'm going to, God told me that, yes, you will be one of the people that are going to do that. And you are good, very good in teaching, and you understand teaching very well, and you can spread it beautifully. Then we say, beautiful, here is your role. Go ahead and become a teacher, and they become the teachers and dedicate their life to this. By the year 2017, hopefully, we have teached enough people that this mission is going to be in its way, and nobody can stop it. Nobody can stop it even now, but even then, it's unstoppable. You know, one person I remember was telling me, this mission is so big, how are we going to make it move? I said, yeah, it's very hard to move. But then it starts moving, nothing can stand in front of it. It's just like a bulldozer, it's going to be huge. It's going to just, you know, bulldozer everything over and just go on and the way it happens. So the answer to your question is, by the year 2017, many people will see the vision. Hopefully by then we have gone through the tribulation and everybody realized. You know, the funny thing about the wars are, after a while, everybody forget why they started this war in the first place. Okay? And they say, I often don't remember why I came here to fight. Okay? And they realize it's not a good idea, just like a World War First. You know, they create the, what is that name of that court in Europe?
League of Nations.
League of Nations, exactly. Very good. You know, League of Nations. In the Second World War, they created United Nations. They made it Libya. Hopefully, in the Third World War, at the end, they say, okay, let's get into the comments of life and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. They were in terror, then it's over, and they're now.
So, but year 2017, mission is going to be in a place that many people will know the truth in. Go ahead, Luke.
Yes, I'm referring to creation and history in Tablet 2, verse 19. You see that the creation of man in this present state started 12,000 years ago after the symbolic events of the flood of Noah. The one completed about 2,000 years ago. Now, what was man like before that creation 12,000 years ago?
Okay, very good question, Lou. Very good question. Actually, if you read the Bible, it talks about God put the coat of a skin on them. Okay, so human really didn't have any skin before that. It was more spirit. It was more psychic. It was more consciousness than have a body. Okay, that's why God put the coat of a skin on them. It means his kingdom. If you give them flesh, give them body. Before that, they didn't have that. Actually, human used to be more spirit than physical body. Actually, a spiritual world was more real to them than the physical world was. Physical world was something that, you know, they had very little awareness of it because they were so little of it. And then after every time man fell, they became more and more and more flesh. Until they start misusing the psychic power they have, just like one they have here. You pay $2 a minute, somebody reads your psychic, you know, future. To see what kind of partner you're going to find. Okay? Actually, they were able to extract life and prolong their life much longer. Why they live for 900 years, 800 years? Because they were able to, you know, prolong their life because they knew how to heal themselves much better then. But you can see that in the Bible, God gave them the skin. They fell more and more until the flood of Noah. And in the flood of Noah, God just had enough of it. Okay? He just said, the man is wicked. You know, I don't have nothing to do with him. What am I going to do now? I'm going to take all the psychic powers away from them and take the actually close the third eye of humanity and gave them to two eyes. Have you ever heard about the Cyclops? Okay. You know, those stories and legends have the truth behind them. Okay. Human didn't have two eyes. Okay. Human only had the third eye, which could see. And usually when they talk about the Cyclops, they talk about he had some psychic power. Okay. So there is some truth in what he said. So the third eye was closed and become the pineal gland in human, and it was divided to two eyes that day. What do we see? Do we see a spiritual world anymore? No, we don't see anymore. We just see physical world. Why? Because we have only two physical eyes. We don't have any spiritual eyes. It's been closed. It was 12,000 years. This new man, in the time of the Noah, again, if you read the book Holius. In Holius, it explains in more detail than creation and history. If you read the book Holius, it explains exactly how human fell again and again and again until the 12,000 years ago, that the human that we know now was created. Of course, it took around 6,000 years to complete that process. That is why we have a whole history of 6,000 years. Our history starts as we know it. Of course, now in archaeology, they have found, of course, there have been a human living 9,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, and then that then the agriculture starts and humans start becoming more connected to the land and all that. Okay, so you can see before that, 12,000 years ago, there's not much of a culture or history they can find. Okay, especially in Europe and Asia and Africa. So we can see that that is when the human being know has been created. Now God has complete control over us. If you are not a spiritual, your third eye is not going to be open. If your third eye is open and you misuse it, you will create bad karma and it will going to be closed later again in this life or the life to come. So that is why we say that human was created 2,000 years ago, but we're not talking about the human in general, we're talking about the human as we know it with two physical eyes. Does that make sense, Luke?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. One more
Yes, go ahead, I'm sure. That's okay. I love you people.
Yes, in Genesis 29:10, where it says about the character will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, how come those learned individuals would read the scriptures, how come they didn't see that one?
Yeah, that's another good question, Lou. Sure, well, because God didn't want them to see. Okay? Because He kept them to this point. You know? And give up. Another explanation is because a lot of